Scripture reading is from Acts 13, verse 47. Acts 13, verse 47. It's on the front of your bulletin. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be here. And I'm so glad that the elders have given me an opportunity to come up and to talk about Ghana this morning. I want to kind of take a couple minutes to maybe reintroduce everyone to what we're doing and why we're doing it. And the first part is that this congregation has a very diverse education program, and I think an excellent program. We've produced a lot of preachers here. We've produced a lot of people who have gone on to really make Christianity their life, and I think that's what we're supposed to do, is to teach. And part of teaching, most certainly, is missions. And not only the elders, but this congregation has made it a priority to ensure that we have an active missions program. And number one, I think we're a very compassionate group of people, and we want to help people. I believe that with all my heart. But number two, and part of education, is encouraging others and giving them a way as to how each individual may more effectively fulfill their individual commitment to God. And so I do feel that this is a teaching program as well, and to give people an opportunity to express themselves in a way that they might not ordinarily have, but one that most certainly is a scriptural command. In Matthew, we are commanded to go to all nations, and in Mark, we are commanded to teach all people, all creatures. So we do have a responsibility, and so I want to thank everyone for several years ago giving me the opportunity to go to Ghana. We obviously didn't know where we were going to go; it was kind of blind faith. But I think today you will see that we've really developed into, we have some really nice works that are going, and one that I would personally try to encourage other people in two ways. One, if you want to get involved, that's true, that's good. But I think one of the things that you'll see today that, you know, if we can invigorate someone to go do their own thing, and I think that's what's exactly happened here. Arby has found a mission that she likes. Charlie Yana has found a mission that he likes through all of this. But you don't have to go to Ghana to have your own mission. As we've seen last week, you can have a mission here in the United States. So we want to use this as a teaching vehicle, and one that will encourage each individual to strengthen his or her relationship with God. So with that, I would like to go over the Ghana timeline and lineage that this congregation goes back a very long time in Ghana. First, I forgot. We've been working. This ties in. We've been members of this congregation have been going to Ghana since the mid 1960s. I'm not exactly sure of the exact date, but I put 1965, and that's about right. But we all remember Paul Cantrell. Paul went. We normally associate Ghana with with Bob Williams. But really, Paul went first. And then Ed Dyke has been over, and then Bob Williams, myself, and then Arby went, and now Charlie Yana. So we have over a 50-year relationship in going to Ghana. And we have always been associated in going over. We've always been associated with the Bomb Soul Church of Christ and the Ghana Bible College. And the Ghana Bible College has been a lot of the focus when we first started, because it was strictly traditional missionary work, and that is trying to teach people the word and in baptisms. And so when we I think this congregation said we want to have a missionary program and something that is tied into the educational program, it made a lot of sense logistically to try to piggyback off of the relationships that we already had there. And I think it's turned out quite nice. Most of the elders at the Bomb Soul Church of Christ knew Bob Williams. So there's in terms of the handoff of me going over and in Arby and in Charlie, it's kind of a natural extension of an existing relationship. And many of these folks have been here to this congregation and visited over the years. So to me, it was very natural to try to use them and try to figure out then what we could, how can we create a missionary program that would be effective in helping people, and also something that it's a reality that we have to talk about, and that is financial. I mean, what's practical financial? I mean, we're only one congregation. I mean, we can't do everything. So there has to be some limit financially. You just can't go out and try to do things that are simply unrealistic, or try to go down the road that will never work. And so I think we've tried to do things very prudently. We've tried to do things very much scripturally, and try to do something that will help improve everyone here, as well as going out and helping others around the world. Our Ghana mission is spreading the gospel and improving people's lives, and as I've said, personal fulfillment, and then fulfilling the purpose of God's plan, and that's what we've done, improving lives and opportunities. And we've started, and let me say this, this is not a what I'd call, it's very easy to bring the world into the church, and you do it in such a way that you don't even know you've done it. And this, what we're doing is a spiritual work. It is not one of the world. And when you get into who does what, it's very easy to get into what I'd call a traditional hierarchy. A worldly hierarchy. You know, Don does this, and somebody does this, and somebody does that. And that is not the purpose of this. And it is somewhat, I would say, organized and structured, but on the other hand, it's somewhat unstructured. And I went over, and with your support, and then I found a work there that I felt I could do. But then Arby said, hey, I might want to go. So Arby went. And then Arby found a mission for herself. And then Charlie went. And then Charlie found a mission for himself. So when we start talking about this, this was designed to be a spiritual organization, not a worldly organization. So this is not something like, for some reason, Don does this and Don does this. I mean, Charlie has developed his own relationship with the Ghana Bible College and Emmanuel over there. And then and he's kind of doing his thing. And then Arby is the same way. Arby has her own contacts over there, and Arby's doing her thing. But right now we have four programs. The Helping Hands Fund, and I'll say a little bit about that, and then Charlie's going to come up and talk about his work with the Bible College, and then I'll say something about the Widows program. But when I went over, the first time I went over, Bob was still alive, and Bob took me over, and he very much wanted me to kind of carry on. But everybody has their own shtick and their own thing and their own personality, and there's absolutely positive no way that I could replace or that I could be step in to be Bob. I mean, Bob did a great job, but what Bob did, I couldn't do over there. Bob lived over there for 3 years, and he had been over there many, many other times. So he had a relationship with these folks that I could never have, and especially the first time I went over. And then things happened, a lot of them you all know about, and that prevented me from going back immediately. So, and then when I went back, Bob had passed. So I just went over and tried to say, is there something that I could do? And we did. We found something, which has been really successful, I think, and that is the Helping Hands Fund. And we have raised about $17,000. Nearly all of this has been from outside individuals, and it's turned out to be very successful. We're currently helping about six or seven villages, congregations, and it was very difficult to try to find some way to help them. But what we have decided to do was to go to the destitute, the people who needed it the most, and this was small rural farmers. And so what we try, there's not enough money, and you don't want to give people money. You have to try to teach responsibility, and just giving them money is not, most certainly not teaching people responsibility. So we decided to create a revolving loan fund. And what we do is we give the money. There's, to use kind of a financial term, it's a non-asset loan. It's a non-collateral loan. These people have nothing. So what are they going to put up? I mean, if they don't pay it back. So what you do is you use the power of persuasion within the group. You use group dynamics. So what we do is we give the money to a congregation, and then the congregation gives the money back. Gives the money out, but you use the power of persuasion to get it back. Now, if you don't get it back, nothing happens. That's just the way it is. But what we've told them is that you don't get any more money. Is that, and so it's been phenomenally successful. It's been absolutely phenomenally successful. The return rate has been very good, and I know very well not every individual has returned the money, but the group as a whole returned the money. So if someone couldn't pay it back, someone else stepped up and paid it back. So it's been really good. It's for farmers, basically for farmers or people in a small business in a rural village, and we try to give them the money in December or January. That's when the crop season starts. And then when the crops come in, they repay it back. And to date, it's a country that doesn't work like ours at all. So when you go out, record keeping and stuff like this is very difficult. Now, the Bombs Hole Church administers this, and they keep very good records. But the people, it's hard to get good data. But we figure now that we're helping about 1,000 people annually in some way, shape, or form, which I think is a is a success. I mean, what we're doing is we're allowing these people to get food, and the food does two things. They use it to exist on, and then and then what's left over, they try to sell it in the marketplace to fulfill their needs, the rest of their living needs. So that's turned out to be very nice, and our goal long term is to raise about $30,000. So we have a couple years left, but I think we can raise it. And then the next project, we had a person here who gave $2,500 to see if we could start an education program to try to improve education in rural schools, rural elementary schools. And so we adopted one school this year, and it's kind of, we always have our view of the world, but when you go someplace else and you see that view of the world is different, we wanted to use the money in a different way. I mean, one of the things I did not want to do is use it for capital improvements. But we go to this school, and it is so bad, it's unreal. And so I immediately had to change my mind and say, well, you can use this to build buildings with. And the buildings that we think of schools over here is nothing like the schools over there. They're basically just a shed. That's a school. And it's bad. So the $2,500 we use this year is going to go to improve the physical structure. But one of the things that we do want to do is try to improve educational outcomes. And so we are going to try to use the next bunch of money next year for teaching assistance, primarily computers and teaching aids and stuff like that. So, and I would hope that we could find someone maybe to take up the gauntlet for that challenge. I do the Helping Hands Fund, and then Charlie does the school, and Arby does the Widows Fund. Maybe we can find somebody who can take that up, and if not, maybe I'll just stick with it. But I'll let Charlie come up a little bit if he would, and explain what he's doing with the with the Bible College.
How many minutes do I have?
A few?
Yeah, 10.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a PowerPoint lesson we put together, and got what Don said about the schools. He took some pictures, and I'll show those. And it's heartbreaking. They've actually had schools, when winds come through and collapse on children, and have killed children. But that'll be in the PowerPoint lesson. When you think about this, the whole focus on the United States, we want to keep focus around here. And I used to have that idea until we went to Ghana and realized that the church does not have boundaries. You know, it's not just one country. It's all over the world. And when you think of investing, don't you want to invest in something where you're going to get a good return? What a return this would be. There were three areas that I had approached Emmanuel about, and I kind of had them backwards. And so he straightened me out on that. And if we can raise enough money to get their endowment fund up to $1 million, they could be self-supportive. They are up a little over halfway now. But that's their number one concern. Number two is support of students there. And we do have someone that from Sierra Leone, which Francis Amara had told me about. He had gone there, and there was a young man who was preaching, had no schooling, but it was a small congregation, and he wants to go to Ghana Bible College. So I contacted Emmanuel, and he contacted this gentleman. And he was concerned about supporting his family while he was away. which would be about $100 for 6 months. But the college, per semester, which would cover his room, board, education, everything, per semester, $1,000. Two semesters would be $2,000. That would get him through the college. And then on top of that, he needs a laptop, and obviously he needs transportation support. So that's something I'm going to bring up whenever we do the PowerPoint lesson, so we can get some more involvement in that if possible. But the third thing has to do with the preachers. When I Emmanuel's daughter made the comment that she would not marry a preacher if he was the last man in the world because of their income. They are surviving on about $15 a month. If we could get that up, that's one, I think the $350 a month for a single man would be sufficient for a man who has a family, anywhere between $600 and $800, depending on the size of his family. And that's the third area that I'm going to present when we get to the lesson, the PowerPoint. But going back to what Don said about Bob Williams. Bob Williams came to Carlisle, I forget how many years ago, and that's when he was drilling wells. And that kind of sparked my encouragement. Man, I really want to go to Ghana. And then it was last year the year before when Emmanuel came?
Year before.
And, you know, I met this guy from Ghana. I thought, oh, yeah, he was dressed in his nice Ghana, you know, clothing. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'd really like to go. And I told Emmanuel, I said, yeah, I think I'm going to try to come. When I got there and realized just the importance of this man, I was very humbled by it. Not only is the president of the college, he is the principal of the college, and when you see how everybody has such respect for this man over there, and there's going to be a lot of that I'm going to share in the PowerPoint about the Ghanaian respect for family, for government, for especially the college, and how everybody works. There's a lot of things, and then their respect for this country. I was very surprised. They have such high respect for this country because they look at us as the protector of the world. And I thought that was very interesting. But all that I'll share. But just to go and be there for that week and see what the hunger for the word was. You know, the students at the college there had this desire, it was a passion for the word. And whenever they, after we had each seminar, and you know the seminars, we talk about sitting on our tails for about an hour and getting bored. These guys came and sat for 4 hours at a time. And then come back after lunch and sat for another 3 hours. And that was after I would speak it in English, and then the professor, Andrew Zopong, great man, he would then, of course, I think he did a little bit more than what I was saying, because I would say something this long and he would drag it out like this. But the questions that were asked by the students, because they have a denominational idea of what the revelation was all about, which is my passion, and I wanted to share that. We called it the Revelation Seminar. 3 days. And it was so hot. Gabriel said to me, he said, man, Charlie, you do sweat. Nobody sweats over there. And even when Francis returned home, he said when he went home, he sweated. He never sweated before. So it's very, very humid. But the idea of people that are so sincere and so, you know, you didn't carry anything. And I'll share this real quick. And I'll share this in the PowerPoint. You didn't carry anything. If you had something that you were carrying, they would automatically take it from you and carry it for you. And it's hard to get used to. But that's their form of respect. That's just one of their forms of respect. And so that took a while to get used to. But just the idea of people that are hungry for the word, and the preachers that go out into the villages and out into the bush and share that word, and the success rate for that is unbelievable. We don't understand that here. So that's all going to be shared in the PowerPoint. That's going to be coming up in a few weeks. We're going to get together with the elders on the day for that. But please come to that, and pictures say 1,000 words. When I handed off my droid to one of the students, I think the pictures, he took some, he must have went, you know, so I had to choose from all this wonderful amount of pictures to put into this PowerPoint. Dawn sent me some pictures, and I got some pictures from Arby. One of the students sent me some pictures, and hopefully you'll come to that and get a real feel of what it was like to be there. So turn it back to Dawn, and appreciate it.
If I could, Charlie, just to follow up on what you said, Charlie had gone over this year to have a seminar on Revelations, and I think that's one of the things we're going to continue is that every time, yes, Charlie is going to try to raise money for the Bible College, raise money for preachers by going around to the congregations here in Central Pennsylvania. I've said any support that I can give him, I will, and I will say that the elders has placed $3,000 in the budget to support the Ghana Bible College. So I think when we go around to these other congregations and try to get their support, that'll be a big thing. So I think that's a great thing. But also I think the seminars can really be something as they grow. And I don't know what Charlie all wants to do with that, but I know that I think Charlie wants to keep going back every year and having a seminar, probably a week seminar on probably a book of the Bible. And then Arby herself just we were over there 2 years ago, and as Charlie said, they don't beg in Ghana. They really don't. It's against their, I don't want to say it's against their culture, but it's not a part of their culture the way it is in a lot of other cultures. And as Charlie said, they're all the time hustling around trying to get you to buy something, but they're not trying to give money. And one of the big things I saw this time is that there are more Muslims in Kumasi than there have been, what's really interesting, when you go to a Muslim community, they're all begging, beg, and they have someone, I don't get into it, but they really try to pull on you to get you to give, and then when you get out of that area, you don't have that. But So we were at a congregation out in the bush, and three old ladies, really old ladies, came up and they asked for some money. And so we got with Gabriel, and Gabriel thought it was a good thing to give them some money. So I think we gave them $10 apiece, which over there is a lot of money. You know, he said that they would not have done this if it wasn't an absolute complete last resort. So Arby has kind of taken that up, and then she's doing her own thing with that, and she's supporting a series of widows, and she's working through Gabriel on that. So that's the four areas of concentration that we have over there, and that's our work. And I wanted to go over a little bit about the funding, because I've had several people ask me about it, and you know, nothing is nothing till it's something. And so we've been going over trying to do this and get that, and you know, Charlie's, you know, as you all can see, he's excited. Arby, you know, myself, and so we've got these things going now, but I think there's a legitimate question, you know, how much is enough? I mean, what's what's this costing everybody? Are we going to go so much that we're paying everything in our budget to go to Ghana? And I'm saying, no, that's not right. We're not going to do that. There is going to be some responsibility here. And I wanted to just take a few minutes to talk about that responsibility. And if you go, I reckon your left to my right, anybody who goes over has to pay their own ticket. That's self-funded. So when I go, I pay for my own ticket over. Charlie and Arby, we all pay for our own plane tickets. That's not funded by the church. And I think anybody who goes over, that's what we would expect, is that you would have to raise your own ticket. Now, one of the things that we do ask, the only area that we really ask the congregation, and that is pay the room and board and expenses while we're over there. And then we also, with that, have some what we call benevolence or leave behind money. That was something that Bob always started. So that's about $2,500. And so that's for room and board, transportation, everything while we're over there, gas. We always rely on someone else for that. We don't drive any vehicles over there. And someone else kind of squires us around. So we pay them for the week and any expenses there. And that's about $2,500, and that comes out of the regular budget here. And then the Helping Hands Fund, the schools, and the Widows Fund, that's paid by outside contributions by individuals that we solicit. And but this year we are putting in $3,000 for the out of the church funds, $3,000 for the Bible College. So now there has been some funds go into the Helping Hands Fund, but we're not asking for that on an annual basis. I think on an annual basis is what I've just said. And if you take the overall budget of the church, and I just put this up, I think I used $4,500 a week times 52, $234,000. And if we ask for a maximum of $7,500 out of the church budget, that's about 3.5% of the church budget. So I think if you look at what we're trying to do, we are trying to be responsible. We do understand that the church cannot do everything. There's a point to where you have to say enough's enough. So I think what I'm putting forth is that, you know, we're doing all this, and the church here, out of its direct budget, is only contributing up to about $7,500 a year, and that's 3.5% of the total budget. So I think that's reasonable. Now, that's up for debate, what everybody thinks is, what one person thinks is reasonable, maybe another person doesn't. But I did want everyone to know that there is some financial accountability in this, we understand that a church this size can only do so much, and then you have to leave money for other programs and other things here to church, and we wanted to make sure that never becomes a problem. And so that's about it. That's what we're doing. We do plan this to be a long term, and we do plan for this to be part of the educational program here at the church. And, you know, we hope that we can be a light to everybody. We hope this congregation is a light to the community and a light to the world. And that we hope that we can continue an educational program that truly focuses on being Christ-like and in accordance with God's word. And we think this is a program that helps to accomplish that goal.